This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars, sponsored by WEPA. Join NITP for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to the November 30th, 2020 For Your Benefit radio show. We're here today with co-host Ray Kirk. Ray is a PhD, career OPM, federal employee benefit specialist, and all-around good guy. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Bob.
Good to have you here, and joining us will be Gavin Toner. Gavin is a manager of Account Management Federal Employee Health Benefit Program. So Gavin knows federal health benefit programs. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Ray. Thanks for having me.
All right. Good to have you. And we have Dr. Siddiqui, and you work together at Kaiser Permanente, and she's with the Acute Care Unit and Occupational Medicine. That sounds very serious. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
Well, it's this is going to be a robust show. We have, let's see, one, two, three, four people on the mic. I won't say too much. I'll take a lot of notes, though. So, Gavin, starting off, what would our listeners look for in Kaiser this year that maybe wasn't there last year?
So this year, we've actually made a number of really great changes for our federal employees. The first thing we did was we took a look at all three of our options. So Kaiser's got three options: the basic option, standard option, and the high option. And we said, let's make sure each one offers something that will ring true for somebody in a specific group or demographic. So, for example, our basic option, it's our lowest premium. But you pay a little more when you see the doctors, but we've also loaded it up with some really great benefits. So if you're sort of young and healthy or fit and healthy and don't see the doctor much and you just need a plan that has really good medical care when you need it, but you don't really want to pay that much out of your paycheck, you go for the basic option. We've also got a really rich rewards program in that and a $500 gym reimbursement plan. The standard plan, I call it the family plan. I wanted to call it the free babies plan, but legal said, no, you can't call it the free babies plan because on it, no deductibles.
I'm glad they're not listening.
there are no deductibles. The coverage for prenatal care, inpatient maternity and delivery, all your postpartum care, all covered at 100%. And then once you have kids, until they turn 18, all their primary care copay, which with federal plans also includes a lot of the, most of the, any lab and x-ray work that you have done in the office, that's all covered with $0 copay. So it really is no cost for kids on the plan, unless you see specialists or some of those other things. And then the high option, it's the plan where you pay the most out of your paycheck, but the least when you see the doctor. It's for people that maybe manage in chronic conditions, you know, people that are getting older, getting towards that Medicare age, where they need to see the doctor a lot, as we know that, you know, 80% of your medical care costs come in the last 20% of your life. So we've really made it easy to make it predictable costs. The other good thing that we've done with the high option this year is we have added a Medicare Part B reimbursement. And so for this year, the Medicare Part B premium for most people is going to be $148 and some change. Our plan on the high option, if you take that Medicare Advantage Part 2 or Part B, will pay you up to will reimburse you up to $150 per month for your Medicare Part B. So you can have the entirety of your premium covered, as well as still get some of those great discounts on your copays when you see the doctor. So it's a really good option for people that are in that Medicare age and you know, are worried about having two premiums. So I'll stop there. I know I talk fast, so hopefully that wasn't too fast.
You could be a little slower.
I will be more cognizant of that going forward.
Okay. Now remember, I don't understand a lot of your terminology, so I'm trying to take notes here. Anyway, if you were looking at Kaiser itself, how is it different from the other plans?
Well, so the thing with Kaiser is we are both the health plan side, which people would associate with the traditional insurance side, and then we're also the medical care side. So we provide the care. You come to the Kaiser centers. All of our centers throughout the region have primary care lab, x-ray, and pharmacy at at them. And in addition to that, most of them have a number of specialists, depending on the size of the center, that can be up, you know, into the 20, 25 different specialties there. We use, I'm going to punt off to Dr. Siddiqui now, and she can talk a little about our integrated care and how that works with the medical record. So Dr. Siddiqui, if you could speak to a little bit to Kaiser's integrated care system, that would be great.
Absolutely, Gavin. So, if you could imagine a health, plan where you get a one-stop shop for most of your healthcare needs within an office building, that is what Kaiser does for you. As part of Kaiser Permanente, there is the health plan or the insurance side, which is completely separate. And then there is the physicians group, which is a group of 1,700 physicians within just the Mid-Atlantic area, who are there to provide service to all Kaiser members for any healthcare needs that they may need. This group of doctors ranges all the way from primary care doctors to subspecialties like cardiothoracic surgery, vascular surgery, or any kind of things that you can think of that you might encounter specialists for. People who come into any of our medical office buildings have access to all of these physicians as needed for services that they may need. The main gatekeeper for all of these services is a primary care physician. Kaiser is very big on preventive care. So the primary care physician not only looks at your everyday medical problems like blood pressure, diabetes, those kind of things, but during the course of your visit, anywhere within the Kaiser system, whether it's with your primary care or with any specialties, or even in an acute care setting, when you come in, you will have some of your proactive things looked at. For example, if you're due for a flu shot, if you're due for a pap smear, if you're due for some kind of cancer screening, we will make sure that you walk out of that office visit with an appointment for follow-up on those things. So it's a very unique system, which is very difficult to kind of find in the country in any other setting, where the health plan is a separate function, and then the physician group kind of manages the patients within the health plan, all of the members within the health plan, to render them the care that we deliver to them on a daily basis.
Are there certain geographic areas where you're more prolific than others?
So we are not a nationwide plan. We operate in the Mid-Atlantic states, which is DC, Maryland, and Virginia. We're also down in the Atlanta, Georgia region. We're out in Colorado. We're also in Hawaii, and then pretty much the entire West Coast from San Diego to Seattle. We are in Washington State, Oregon, and California. If I could jump back to what Dr. Siddiqui said when she said, you know, when you come in, we make sure you get the preventative screenings. I can speak to that. When we're in the studio, you can see that I wear glasses. I went to get my eyes examined last year, and while I was in there, the optician said, there's a flag in your account. You need to go and get your blood pressure checked because you haven't got your blood pressure screening. And so while I was there to get my eye exam checked, because as Dr. Siddiqui said, it's a one-stop shop, I just went to the third floor, got my blood pressure checked, and came back and while I was there, and that was it. And so it's proactive measures like that makes our care really a step apart from what you normally see. And you can see that in our outcomes. So for example, cancer screening rates, in this region alone, our screening rate is 86.19%. The national average is 71%. So we're 15% higher than national average in making sure people get those vital screenings. That's for breast cancer screenings. When you're talking about cervical cancer, that jumps up to 91%. And so we're really proactive. If you have something that you need to recommended for your age group or for your condition, the physicians at the medical group make sure that you get that, and it's all tied to that one electronic medical record that's used across the board.
So as you talk, and I'm trying to visualize a geographic region, and about the only one I can visualize is D.C. And I believe there are three or four hospitals rotating around D.C. So it isn't that if you're a member of Kaiser, you can only go to one place.
No, so we actually have partnered with 9 of the hospitals in the region, from Northern Virginia all the way up the 270 corridor, all the way over up to Baltimore and everywhere in between. There, we partner with our physicians. In addition to that, we also have 33 of our own medical centers where you get your outpatient care. So the inpatient care would obviously be at the premier hospitals. Outpatient care would be at a Kaiser facility. Of those 33, there are 22 that do 20 that do urgent care and after hours care, and then 6 that are open 24/7 for urgent care and emergency care. And the good thing about the using Kaiser for your urgent care is we only see Kaiser patients. So if you've ever gone to an emergency room, particularly at the weekend, it may take you 4, 5, 6 hours. The average time is about 4.5 hours in the DC area, because they see people with every type of insurance under the sun, as well as people with no insurance. So it's going to be a bigger population that they're processing. Whereas if you come to a Kaiser center, it's just Kaiser people. So the wait times are a little quicker, the turnaround times quicker, and you get treated. You know, if you're in urgent care, you're not there because you've got sniffles, you're there because there's something wrong. And so you get treated quicker as well.
Is this the case with your other sites around the country, that there's more than one location to go to if you had an issue?
Yes. And, you know, it's funny. People say to us, well, why aren't you in North Carolina, or why aren't you in Florida? And I said, you know, the way we plan is we don't plan one medical center. You know, you have to have a footprint that makes it convenient for people to go to. Because if you're trying to serve an entire community, but you've only got one medical center, it doesn't work. And so you'll see, even in this region alone, and the quick answer to your question is yes, we have multiple centers in every footprint that we're in. But in this region alone, in the last few years, so 2 years ago, we expanded pretty prolifically in Virginia. We added an Alexandria Medical Center, the Colonial Forge Medical Center down in Stafford, and the Haymarket Medical Center. And then this year, we've opened the Lanham Rehabilitation Center. We've got the Bowie Fairwood Medical Center. We're expanding into Prince George's County. And so it's just a constant evolution and growth to make sure that we're making things as convenient and as easy as possible for our members to access.
Now, you said that it's a regional plan. Now, what if somebody lives in Virginia, they belong to have Kaiser as their plan, and something happens to them and they're in two situations, happens that on the West Coast where Kaiser has a footprint, or happens in Kansas City where perhaps you don't have any footprint? What does a person do?
So the way it works is we will cover you globally, and that's thank you for asking that question, because we get that a lot. We will cover you globally for urgent care or emergency care. So wherever you are, if something happens and it's an urgent matter, go and get it treated, and we'll take care of it. If you know ahead of time that you're traveling to another Kaiser region, you can call our member services and get what we call a traveling member number. And that means you can just use the services in that region. They'll use that traveling member number to tie to your medical record, and you can just use that any of the medical centers there as you would as if you're living in a Kaiser region. The other thing as well is for outside the Kaiser footprint, if you're outside the states that Kaiser operate in, we've also partnered with Minute Clinic. So you can just go to Minute Clinic, show your Kaiser card, pay your copay, and they'll treat you there, rather than, you know, if you go to an emergency room or a non-Minute Clinic urgent care, you would have to pay in advance and then submit the claim to us for reimbursement. So if you can get to a Minute Clinic, that takes care of that as well.
Very good. I think it's time for a break here. The clock is telling me that. Andrew's telling me that, the ever-efficient engineer. And we'll come back, and I'm going to ask Dr. Siddiqui to talk more about occupational medicine. That's not a headache, and you take an aspirin. It's probably something more major than that. So we'll be back right after a short break. following the sponsor of the show, WAPA.
Federal Open Season isn't only about health insurance. Get life insurance for less with WAPA. WAPA has been insuring the future of federal employees for more than 75 years. WAPA can be used as a supplement or replacement for your existing policy and can cost less than Fakely. In fact, last year, members who switched saved $375 on average. While you're evaluating your benefits this open season, compare the costs of WAPA and Fakely. See how much you could save on your life insurance by visiting waepa.org today.
Okay, welcome back to For Your Benefit. Our guest today is Gavin Toner, manager of account management. Gavin's been on how many years? Six, 7 years, 8 years?
I think this might be my fifth. I know it seems like I'm getting a bit long in the tooth, but I think it's only my fifth.
No, I think I have that. I got the long in the tooth. You're still a kid. All righty. And Ray Kirk, career OPM, federal benefits specialist, NITP, and has great insight into these benefits and watching him, and I can see the wheels turning. So Ray's probably got some questions. And Dr. Siddiqui, she's involved with acute care and occupational medicine. So what's occupational medicine? People say, I'm sick of my job. Do they come see you?
Well, in this area, no. In this area, they will still come and see their primary care doctor, but typically occupational medicine does involve employee health related activities, as well as rendering this, you know, kind of like delving into workplace issues.
So that would be that there might be a malady because of the air is not right, or they've developed, what would they develop something that would say, gee, I have an issue here, I need to see the good doc?
Well, you know, it can range anywhere from an exposure of certain chemicals at work to workplace related traumatic injuries to alleging, people can have stressful events happen at work, anything and everything to do with work, and then accommodating, staff and employees, those are also part of the occupational medicine realm. My more interesting life is actually acute care, where we do mostly emergency medicine within the Mid-Atlantic Physicians Group.
Okay, the acute care sounds somewhat like a parable, parallel to the first that you mentioned, because let's say that we don't become ill at work during our work hours, but it's a progressive malady with stress, and somebody then has a cumulative effect. But do they usually not know that until they're not at work?
Absolutely. Work, a lot of medical problems for people don't arise when they're actually at work, but they can kind of raise their heads after they've been home. It is not as easy as one plus one equals two. Sometimes one plus one equals 11, and that is the task of physicians to kind of figure out and put things together in perspective.
Have you seen any shift in essentially the maladies or what have you for people now that they've been working at home for 6 months, since most federal employees haven't been back at the office since March? Has that kind of shifted the issues that they're coming to see you about?
Absolutely. Things do change. Obviously, you know, working in a virtual world, you still have certain expectations to fulfill in a job environment. So yes, you may not be seeing the everyday sprains and strains that afflict a lot of people at work, but you still will be seeing, you know, more of like stress-related issues. We obviously have changed even delivering medicine within the last, since March. So things are, life has become completely different. And I think we're still kind of trying to adjust to the new reality. And we're still in that phase where we don't know where eventually we will land.
Right. That reminds me about, does Kaiser provide telemedicine? Or I know that some of the doctors that I see have shifted or now, I guess, add that in addition to their coming to see them in their office. They can you can have a visit with the doctor via telemedicine. Has Kaiser moved in that direction also?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I can give you an example of that. March hit, COVID hit, and we switched from being 90% in-person visits to 90% virtual visits within the course of a few weeks. We created workflows, and that is, I think, one of the strengths of having a physicians group that is actively involved in trying to see what works best for the patients. Within the course of 2 to 3 weeks, the physician group had switched the entire way of doing medicine. And I think why we were so successful in getting that change so quickly was how we are set up and the unique way in which we kind of are able to take care of our patients. And Gavin can give you more information about this switch, which has been so successful. And actually, patients have preferred virtual care within the past 6 months so much more than actually even coming to physicians' offices.
Yeah, and if I can just add to that, one of the things that, and again, this goes back to how we work as a system. So we were already ahead of the curve in that for federal employees, all our telehealth options were already a $0 deductible or $0 copay. So there was no charge to our employees at the point of service when they needed to use telehealth. And that can include phone visits, video visits with your primary care physician, video visits with an urgent care. We've added now so that there's some of the mental health that can be done by that, some specialties that are being handled by that, and email. And it's all manageable. You can either do it on your computer or, you know, as we're seeing the trend now for mobile, we have built our app from the ground up to be completely mobile accessible. So you can do your video visits, you can schedule your appointments, you can email your doc, you can check your medical records, you can refill prescriptions, all from your from the app, or if you log on to kp.org and go access your account that way. And so in that regard, our pivot to mobile was such a short runway, and it was so successful because we already had the infrastructure in place. We already knew this was coming. And so the other part of that is because you're doing a video visit with, and this is not to disparage any other organizations, but you hear it referred to as doc in a box, and where other organizations contract with these doctors groups that only do virtual, and they have good doctors. You know, there's nothing wrong with them. But with Kaiser, you're speaking to your doctor who can access your medical record, and it goes back to making sure they have the full picture of your health. So it just makes it easier to work within that Kaiser system to transition into the telehealth.
All right, Dr. Siddiqui, I've got another question. This occupational medicine. More and more we hear about what stress does to an individual on the job, and then it carries, of course, off the job. So when should somebody first say, you know, I think I have an issue with this? Maybe they don't sleep as well as they used to a year, two or three ago. Maybe they're put into a management position, which will bring about stress. Are there any kind of like precursors that somebody could do if they felt they were being impacted by the stress on the job?
Absolutely. I think the first step is to talk to your primary care doctor. As part of our screening or the proactive care that we were talking about earlier, it is very common for patients to be given a survey to assess for depression. And that starts at a very early age. And this is something that we do every year for all of our patients. If if for any reason it is not the time for you to be visiting with a doctor, certainly there are pathways in which you can message your doctor through an email or a message through your Kaiser health records. Reach out to somebody so that there could be more conversation about it to kind of then guide you as to what to do next.
Okay, I got a good email this week. A little off medical treatment, but hear me out, and y'all can make comments. And individual writes in, my coworker tells me that when they retire next year in May and sign up for Medicare A and B, but they also at the same time are going to drop the federal health insurance, saying that the family plan will cost them X dollars, and felt that he couldn't afford it. You know, just a side comment, I don't know how you could ever pay less outside of a federal plan. But anyway, it's just my comment. So this individual said, I've asked him to do this, and this is the individual saying, I understand it, you need federal FEHB to wrap around and pay parts A and B. So the question then is, probably one Ray addresses more than maybe the rest of us. Once you drop FEHB and you're retired, can you restore it?
And the answer, the answer is no. That and it's different between an employee and a retiree. As an employee, you could drop your FEHB plan, and then during a subsequent open season, or if you had a qualifying life event, you could reinstate it. But once you retire, canceling FEHB is a one-way street. That you can, there are no circumstances you can reinstate FEHB. So the broad answer to the email you received is to certainly strongly advise the person that's considering dropping their FEHB in lieu of signing up for Medicare Parts A and B. That's a serious mistake, because FEHB is designed to have provisions to integrate with Medicare, and so you get essentially extra benefits as opposed to losing them. And then another big issue that against the idea in this particular example of dropping FEHB is, the email says that the person has a family plan and has a wife and two children. Well, if they were to drop the FEHB plan, the children, their wife, unless she was 65 and eligible to sign up for Medicare, would lose health insurance coverage, and the children would absolutely lose health insurance coverage. So in the attempt to save money by reducing those FEHB premiums or eliminating those FEHB premiums, they'd be creating a need for insurance coverage or medical coverage for their children. So it would be a very, very bad decision to just drop the FEHB plan.
Okay, one short final question. Are there any health plans that give a discount on the premium for enrollees in Part B?
Well, I'll talk in a general case and then turn it to Gavin, who I think earlier mentioned some specific benefits that Kaiser had, and that is, many of the plans, not all of the plans, but many of the plans have developed provisions to integrate them, provide better integration with Medicare coverage, that when you're covered by Medicare, that becomes the primary insurer, and then the FEHB plan kind of fills in the uninsured parts from Medicare. But many of the plans have provisions like they waive the co-pays and the deductibles, so they greatly reduce your out-of-pocket expenses. And some of them have a rebate to help cover the FEHB, the Medicare Part B premiums. Remember, Part A does not have a separate premium. You've been paying a Medicare Part A tax on your income your entire lifetime, so there's no separate premium for A. But B does have a premium. Gavin mentioned that in 2021, it's going up for most people to a little over $148. So then, Gavin, would you kind of touch base again with specifically how Kaiser is addressing this extra premium issue?
Sure. And it's a big question that comes up every year, that people are saying, well, why would I pay my FEHB premium as well as a Medicare premium? You know, what's the benefit to me? I don't see the doctor a lot. And, you know, the 2 points I make is, number one, you know, you work as a federal employee to take that benefit plan into retirement with you, where the government will still pay their share of your premium. There are very few places that you will work that you will get that benefit. It's a huge benefit. Don't let it relapse and don't let it go. Part two is, as I mentioned before, 80% of your care, your medical care, is going to come in the last 20% of your life. So having those, both of those plans wrap around to make sure you have the least amount of out-of-pocket expenses when you're living on a fixed retirement income is going to be beneficial to you. And so this year, what we've done is we've brought in, as Ray talked about, some plans do the rebates. Ours is $150 per month. So if you're in that bracket where your premium is only going to be $148 and change per month for Medicare Part B, you can get that entire amount reimbursed with a Kaiser Part B Advantage plan to wrap around your FEHB. And that's on our high option. In addition to that, we're also reducing your copay. So you pay $5 to see a primary care, $15 to see a specialist, your generic medication, $7 for a 30-day supply, $14 for a 90-day supply. If you need outpatient surgery, it's a $50 copay, and that's surgeon, facility, anesthetist, anything that's required. So the benefits are really, really enhanced on that Part B plan, as well as getting the premium reimbursement and rebate.
Right. Thanks. And I think the kinds of benefits you've mentioned for Kaiser are, there are similar benefits in other plans. And so one of the things that we've emphasized over this whole series of NITP radio shows is the importance of actually doing research during open season. And this person who's coming up on age 65 or coming up on retirement in May, so they're at the decision point, to take the time to look at the choices and see just which plan, what extra benefits or how they're going to integrate with Medicare, and what just how your health care or health insurance is going to change when you're covered by Medicare. Do the research. Don't just blow through open season and say, you know, make some sweeping decision. So yeah. It's like you mentioned, I do seminars and webinars, and this topic is one of the ones that consumes a lot of time during the session, because people are misinformed. They go by just looking at the big numbers as opposed to what do you get for that premium cost.
Yeah, and that's crucial during open season. So there was research done a few years back that only about 5-7% of federal employees shop and change during open enrollment. Now, the difference in an individual plan from the lowest premium to the highest premium coming out of your paycheck every 2 weeks is about $4,000 over the course of the year. When you change that to a family plan, the difference between the lowest and the highest premium is $11,000 per year, just before you ever see a doctor, just what's coming out of your pocket. And so people are leaving money on the table, and these are times where you don't want to leave money on the table. So it's really important for people to shop for a plan that's right for them and take a look at their options.
Okay. Perfect time for a break. So we'll take a break, and the listeners can hear about what NITP can do for them.
Who do you trust when making your most important decisions? National Institute of Transition Planning has been the trusted source for federal retirement planning, serving new, mid-career, and pre-retirement federal employees for more than 30 years. NITP's subject matter experts bring more than 800 years of collective expertise on federal benefits, financial transition, and estate planning. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com to sign up for their free monthly newsletter and information about free webinars.
Does planning for retirement seem like a daunting task? Is retirement years away? It will arrive sooner than you think. Prepare now to stay on track. Join the thousands of federal employees and retirees who have already attended National Institute of Transition Planning's free monthly webinars to learn more about retirement and financial planning. NITP is the national leader and trusted source for federal retirement information. Visit NITPinc.com to sign up for NITP's free monthly newsletter and webinar.
Welcome back to For Your Benefit. And as I listened to that spot, I should say NITP is free, if you will, to a federal employee. We go to agencies and we provide the seminars. You can see here we do the radio show and answer people's questions and the like. So if there was any indication that you'd have to pay for it, you don't. So anyway, let's get back to
Bob. If I could add one more point to that, is one of the things I always emphasize when I'm doing the seminars and webinars about signing up for the NITP newsletter, is you're not going to get extra stuff. You know, you're not going to get promotional material about buy this and we also offer this service. The NITP is only providing that employee-focused retirement-related information. There's no extra the friends that you get when you sign up for the email.
Thank you, Ray. That was incisive. Very, very good. I was listening again to Gavin, and I think of Dr. Siddiqui and this occupational medicine. Acute care, I guess, is different. Occupational medicine, I would assume the malady is something that grows over the years, and it just doesn't necessarily pop up. So how does somebody then recognize that, or do they go to Kaiser and say, listen, I listen to this radio show, or they just listen to somebody talk, and they say, I don't know what my occupation is doing to me, so where do I go next?
Well, if you don't know that your occupation is doing anything to you and you're not having any symptoms, then I would say continue working. Obviously, you only go see the doctor if you have any symptoms. And, you know, a lot of our doctors, I would say the primary care doctors are very astute in kind of like getting a very good history on the patients. With the unique system that we have within Kaiser, different physicians are able to talk to each other through the electronic medical records that we have. Our patients also have access to their own records at all times through the KP.org and KP app. So there are a lot of mechanisms in which things that patients bring to the attention of their doctors get seen without technically making this patient run around to many different specialists. Within this, within our electronic records, as an example, if I'm working in urgent care, I am able to pose questions to the specialist in real time. I am able to call the specialist in real time because all of our specialties are 24 hours a day on call. We are able to kind of figure out a game plan for the patient as we move forward through the visit. And we are able to set things up for the patient according to what is best for the patient and what would work best for their condition, rather than wanting to make them go through many different specialists just because we want to run a multitude of tasks. So I think the uniqueness of how we render care for any kind of complaint that a patient brings forward to, it's a discovery process. And I think we are keenly, very nicely laid out to kind of make sure that that discovery process happens in a way which is best for the patient and not best for the health system per se.
One of the things you didn't, types of care you didn't specifically mention, I assume that it is part of the Kaiser program though, is things like physical therapy. Do you have physical therapists within the Kaiser's plan?
Yeah, we have all, there are over 53 different specialists, specialty types working with Kaiser, and that includes physical, speech, occupational therapy, acupuncture, all those type of treatments, as well as the other specialists, the cardiologists, the dermatologists, the mental health specialists, all of that. We have physicians and doctors that take care of that in house,
and that's all within the centers.
Yeah, it's all within the centers.
If I was a Kaiser member and I was not near a center, and I had an issue, do you have like emergency airlifts? Sometimes when we talk about
You're talking about not near a center, I'm assuming you're talking about an emergency that arises.
Yes.
So We do have ambulatory transport benefits for members. You know, obviously everything would be covered when it's medically necessary. Depending on where you are, if you're in our footprint, usually you would just get transported to the nearest hospital. If you're outside of our footprint, go to whatever emergency room or hospital that you need to get to. If it's you know truly an emergency, go there, get treated. We do have, like I say, we cover you worldwide for urgent care and emergency care, so that shouldn't be a concern. Get the treatment
you need. Let me run a scenario by and tell me what happens, because as you talked, it just started. Suppose I live in Fairfax County. Suppose I have an emergency. I'm involved in an accident, and the fire department EMTs come. So they're going to take me, I assume, to Fairfax Hospital. Say that's close by, as opposed to a Kaiser Center. So then what happens? I get treated for the immediate condition that the Fairfax Hospital, but suppose I'm admitted to Fairfax Hospital. What then kind of is the path of treatment?
So what happens there is they would get you stabilized. If it was going to be a prolonged hospital stay, they would transfer you to one of our premier hospital partners. They would take you to wherever the ambulance takes you. You would get the treatment there. And then if it's like, when you're going to be inpatient for 3 weeks, you would then be transferred to a Kaiser hospital partner.
Yeah, and let me add a little bit to that. So within some of our jurisdictions that we have centers in, we have developed certain pathways where if, let's say, you were involved in an accident and the EMS arrives at the site, and it happens to be, let's say, Montgomery County or Fairfax County, and they determine that your injury is serious, but it is not emergent enough where you actually need to go to an emergency room. There is a possibility that if it is a low-level injury, that they may bring you directly to one of our hubs where we have these 24-hour centers to the urgent care there, and you can get treatment there at that time. Now, let's say if it is a serious enough injury which lands you in the Fairfax Hospital emergency room. At the emergency room, they determine that, yes, it is something for which you need a period of observation. Then the hospital will contact our emergency care management physicians, which is a 24-hour service within our setup, and will determine if the patient is stable enough to be transferred to one of our core hospitals, which is these centers of excellence for Kaiser Permanente. And if the patient is stable enough, we will transfer you to those areas, because what we have found out is that, again, in that model of integrated medical care, if you are being taken care of physicians who belong to the Kaiser system, your overall stay in the hospital is so much more better aligned for care for you compared to staying in a hospital where people are not familiar with your medical history and will not be familiar with you once you get discharged from the hospital. And so our goal always is to get patients to where we can render care best, regardless of how it costs us or how we make that happen. So most of our patients end up in these non-core hospitals, then get repatriated to our core hospitals, where we have our own group of physicians who are better able to take care of these patients until the time that they discharge from the hospital.
Okay, the acute care, what is acute care?
It's basically emergency care.
Okay. Great answer. Because I'm saying, what does acute care mean? So it's an emergency. Very good.
Yes. So most of our urgent cares and the clinical decision units within our hubs, within Kaiser, have 24-hour centers that are able to render emergency care to the membership at any given point in time.
And they're spread throughout our footprint. You know, that we've got 24-hour care in Woodbridge, Tyson's Corner, Gaithersburg, Baltimore, DC, and Largo. I think that's the, I think that's all of them. So, you know, we're within our 33 center footprint, we've got those centers. The other thing, just when we're talking about the care side of it, is for federal employees, and this just because I read a story of somebody who was in ICU for 44 days and got with COVID and got a $1 million bill in it. Our treatment cost, there's no member cost for COVID-related treatments for federal employees. You know, they're, with the surge that's going on now, it's expected that, you know, there's going to be a percentage of the population that gets it. And so, you know, that's another thing that they can be rest assured that their coverage is there when they need it and at no cost of it, no additional cost to them.
All right, as we get closer to the finish line, are there any programs that you find that people are unaware of because they didn't read a brochure, they didn't ask the right questions with regards to coverage?
Yes, very much so. And so on all three of our options, we have got what we call rewards. So it involves you for 2021, it involves you going to your doctor. And this is so that you can experience the Kaiser care and you get your biometrics, which is, you know, your cholesterol, your blood pressure. You get those biometric readings on file. And then you do one of our, you do our total health assessment, which you do online. And I always tell people it's a good idea to do your total health assessment first, then go do your biometric screening, because you do your health assessment, you think, oh, I'm healthy. Then you go and see your doctor and you get it verified, and they'll either say, yes, you're healthy, or did you know you've got this going on? And so on our high option and our standard option, it's $200 per individual, for individual and spouse only. So that's up to $400 for the family that they can get. That can be used for any IRS approved medical related expense, you know, co-pays, deductibles, prescriptions, all that stuff except premiums. And then on the basic option is $375 for the individual, $750 for the spouse. And then on top of that, our basic option also has a $500 per year gym reimbursement. So if you're a member of a gym, or if you do SoulCycle, or if you do things like that, and we've expanded that to include virtual classes. We don't cover equipment, but we will cover classes. For, you know, because a lot of the gyms have moved to virtual classes now with COVID, they're also eligible for reimbursement. And the one final thing that I haven't talked about is our premiums. We were able to really control our premiums. Our basic option only went up a dollar, and the rest of the plans only went up, you know, a few dollars. So in terms of where we are in the market, super affordable premiums, really high standard of care, quality of care, and really rich benefits on a plan to suit everybody.
Are the gyms usually in the hospital area, or within the hospital, or next door?
This is any gym that you're a member of, whether it's, so right now, if you're going to Gold's Gym, you just need to show the receipts from that. You can submit them monthly. You can wait until the end of the year and submit it. If any gym that's not a, or that's a fee-based gym, where you take classes or you pay a membership to, like I say, we will cover the Peloton membership, but we will not cover the Peloton equipment. You know, so it's, as long as you're not trying to buy bikes and things like that, I have to make that very clear. It's not, no equipment is covered, but health classes, fitness classes, things like that are all covered. And there's no real restriction on the gyms, as long as they're, you know, they're licensed and they're providing the class.
All right. What other things might somebody listening to the show, or they go to one of these regional seminars during the open season, what would somebody probably miss that we ought to say something about that Kaiser provides as a benefit to becoming a member? Is there anything common?
Just the convenience. And so the example I always use is my wife got pneumonia a few years ago, and she went, you know, I said, well, I'm out telling people you can get same-day doctor appointments before we go to the emergency room. Let's see. She got in to see her doctor at 7:20. She made the appointment at 7:20. She got in to see her doctor at 9 o'clock. She got her x-ray done at Kaiser. He diagnosed her with pneumonia, got her steroid inhaler and an antibiotic. She was back home in bed at 11 o'clock. You're on any other plan, you have to go somewhere else for the x-ray. You have to go somewhere else for the prescription. And that whole process that took her 2 hours takes most people 2 days. The convenience of having everything in the one building under one roof is, it just can't be overstated until you experience it.
Okay, we have 2.5 minutes before we go blank. So, final comments, thoughts?
I would do a quick plug for kp.org/feds. It's a Fed-specific site within Kaiser Permanente. You can go there and get all the information you need to help you make a decision. Thank you for having me on here. I really appreciate the time.
Well, we've enjoyed it too. Dr. Siddiqui, final thoughts?
No, you have to experience it to kind of know how good it is. We are Kaiser members ourselves, and I would not go any other way ever.
I would never ask that question, but I'm glad you answered it. So, very good. Ray?
Well, I think our discussion today kind of reemphasizes a point we've been making for the last several weeks. Again, the open enrollment period is a great opportunity for federal employees. As Gavin mentioned, reality is a small percentage of people take advantage of it. But everyone should do some research, look at the options, look at the compare what benefits they'd get from Kaiser versus the benefits they get from another healthcare provider, and see what's best for them and their family.
Very good. Thanks, everybody, for coming on the show today. Rapid fire, no dead air, and upbeat delivery. Thank you.
Thank you for having us. All
righty.
Thank you.
And thank you all.
Thanks to the ever-efficient engineer. And how long have we been doing this? Eight years. All righty. He's the best. Anyway, thank you. We'll be back next week, and enjoy the week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP and sponsored by WAPA. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. This show can also be heard on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search For Your Benefit. Thanks for listening.